So I think it's time for us to go ahead and get into the backlog bingo brunch, right? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. More? You've got your mimosas ready. You've got your nutritionally balanced breakfast of Fruit Loops mixed with Cocoa Pebbles. So let's get started. Hey, 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 backloggers. Welcome to the first episode of season two of the Backlog Bingo Brunch. I know it's actually early in the morning. We were turning these brunches into midnight snack runs at one time, but we're here joined by two of our illustrious members of the community. We have Michael, we have Nate, and then we have Blaze Knight, who is here to keep me in check to make sure that I don't do anything crazy. Isn't that right?
Oh, you hired the wrong man for that.
You were not hired. This was a voluntold position.
Voluntold. Wait. My wife was telling me about that the other day.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
That this explains the lack of paychecks.
Anytime my work says, hey, would you do this? It's like, you're not asking me if I would do it or if I would like to. You are inadvertently telling me you're going to do this.
So they say that at work to you?
Yeah, you just acquiesce and move on, and you are thankful that you still have a job with a paycheck. Just suck it up. You follow this.
It's funny because
follow this under other duties as assigned.
My wife's principal the other day had come down, and she goes, "He wasn't telling me. He voluntold me." And I'm like, "What is voluntold? I've never heard it before." And here you're in the teacher system too, and it just seemed maybe like a cultural thing.
It's just one of those words that we, as faculty, joke around with each other. We just throw that around. It's not something that the administration actually uses, but we know what they mean. We've been in the game long enough.
Yep.
This is not like the first time that you play Super Mario Brothers and you're wondering, like, what are these guys that are walking towards me? Beep, 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 doo, and you're dead, right? Or you get to that first gap and you're like, how do I do this? Let me try to jump. But since you don't know what the run button is, you just fall into it anyway.
Right.
No, we know the game. We know the game. So, you guys are ready. And I know that we were talking about this earlier, that Michael has already gotten three bingos. He is playing all the short games. He is setting himself up for success. And I know, Nate, you've been completing stuff too?
Not completing, but working towards.
Oh, okay.
I think I got five games on my list.
Good grief. All right. Well, before we get into the games, since this is a new year, new you, do you guys have any gaming New Year's resolutions? I know I probably should have prepped you for that, but there are other things that you are maybe hoping to accomplish. Maybe it's a game that you're trying to complete, or maybe a habit that you are trying to establish or break, or maybe it's just something in your life itself that you are hoping to accomplish.
I got an easy one right off the bat. I'm trying to spend less money on games this year after 2023 ruined me. I bought so much, like, it had to have been close to $1,000 in games last year. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
What did you buy last year?
Everything. Everything and anything. No. A lot. It's like a lot of AAA stuff, Street Fighter VI, we bought Zelda, Diablo 4, Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, like anything and everything that was big last year, I think I ended up with.
Christmas switches, dueling Christmas switches. Too.
that's not even
oh, no.
taken into account.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm definitely trying to do better about that this year.
Yeah, I can feel you on that. When I did that, kind of made that my goal in 22, I spent $5.40 on games. And that was a good year.
Wow.
Last year.
That's excellent.
Oh, Yeah, let's not talk about last year, though. Because you talk about the AAA games, Octopath Traveler 2, Metroid Prime, Remastered, mm-hmm. Tears of the Kingdom, Mario Wonder. I think those... I want to say those were like the day one releases that I picked up. But then I also picked up Fire Emblem, Warriors, Three Hopes, Fire Emblem Engage. No, those were like half off by the time I got them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a few, you know, bundles here and there. So it was a more expensive year last year. So I want to try to cut back on that. And then Humble Bundle sends me an email saying, hey, here's a bundle. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's like did you see the, I don't know if you guys saw the post, but the bundle includes Gloomhaven and, you know, Carcassonne, Small World, Splendor, and maybe a few others, but it includes a bunch of DLC stuff as well. I'm like, all for $20? Oh, man.
I mean, it feels good. It feels good to have them at least in your library, and that way if you want to play that game someday, you got it. Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, but some of that stuff, like...
You work hard for this.
I work hard for the money. So, Michael wants to spend less money. Is it that's like your number one?
Yeah, pretty much.
So how are you going to track that? Or are you just going to say, I'm going to do better? Or are you going to set a limit? So, you know what? I have, say, you know, $150 that I'm going to spend on gaming and that's it.
I thought about doing something like that. Like maybe $20 from every paycheck goes into a game budget and that's what I can spend from. But I haven't really worked out the details yet. I'm just trying not to buy anything right now. And so far that seems to be going all right. You know, 6 days into the year.
Well, I feel like that's a good idea to have that budget. If you say, I'm going to take X amount from my paycheck and put it in a special account that is earmarked specifically for games, and I can only buy gaming stuff from that account, that's probably going to be better than the whole, I'm just going to try to be better about spending money.
Yeah. Until something's like, oh, hey, this game got shadow dropped today, and I think I kind of want that. We'll see how my willpower is then.
Or Nintendo says, hey, by the way, here is the Switch successor coming out on this date.
With Metroid Prime 4.
Ooh, yeah. See, day one, instant. You have to buy it.
See, I don't think that Metroid Prime 4 would be the game that makes me say, oh, I've got to pick it up.
Right.
And I don't know what the game would be for me. What would have to be so tantalizing? Like for the Switch, it was just seeing what Tears of the Kingdom could do. That was
for sure.
You know, it kind of blew my mind.
I know like what Odyssey 2.
It would definitely be. It'd be Labo 2.0 for you. You definitely need that cardboard in your life.
Yeah, and a couple of weeks ago, I took all the leftover cardboard stuff from Labo and put it in recycling. I just had it.
Next, it would be like popsicle sticks.
Just had to wash
the way Nintendo intended.
Well, I mean, it was fun when it came out, and you know, to play around with that with my boys when they were, you know, 5 years younger than they are now. But things have changed. So, Nate, were you saying like a game or something that would be like the I have to get the Switch successor?
I think Odyssey 2 probably would do it. Mario Odyssey 2. If that was, I love that game.
That sold me the first Switch. So yeah, a sequel would do that for me.
Anything Mario that's new. I mean, even if they would have done Wonder.
Oh, yeah. What about like a Mario Kart 9?
Ooh, I don't know. 8 is really good. I feel like 9, you know, they'd have to really jump it forward because it's about as good as I think it can get now.
Right.
You know, maybe visually overhaul it. Like Unreal 5, I don't know what that would look like. Probably be pretty neat. But Nintendo, I don't know if they would do that.
Or what if they said, hey, they do like a Sony PlayStation 5 thing where they say, hey, for $5-$10, you can now play Breath of the Wild with up-resed visuals and a better frame rate.
I would do that just to see the technology in action, I think. I'm definitely that kind of gaming consumer where they can get me with the new flashy stuff if the game's right.
It'll be exciting to see, but I'm definitely not going to hold my breath. Everybody keeps saying this is the year for the Switch successor. I'm like, yeah, we said that in 23. We said that in 22. We said like, No. Actually, what would get me is if the new NCAA football game that's still hopefully coming out later this year, if it runs on the Switch too, all right, you got me. You got me.
That'd be pretty neat.
Okay, so do you have a New Year's resolution, Nate?
I think it's going to be to use the two paid services more to find new games to play. Because I have Game Pass and PS Premium, and a lot of times they don't get used for a month or two. Mm. So I'm going to try to spend less on new games and use those services.
That's a good idea. Because I mean, they keep putting out so many good games on those. And I think, what is it on Game Pass? Isn't Valhalla coming out? They're picking up Game Pass soon? Assassin's Creed Valhalla?
I think so, yeah. And they have Origins and Odyssey on there already.
Was it Resident Evil 2?
2, yep. This month.
Yeah, they are coming out of the gates pretty strong with their offerings. Unfortunately, I don't see any mention of Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth on there. So
it's got to come. I think it's on PS Premium. I might be wrong. I know there's one of the new, it might be Ishin maybe.
Oh, I know that.
Maybe Ishin.
I know that Ishin and Like a Dragon Gaiden are on Game Pass.
Okay.
But I'm talking about infinite wealth. Like, are you going to make me spend $70 so that I don't have FOMO?
And then put it on there 3 months later?
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, here's the really bad problem for Infinite Wealth is it's not cross-buy. So I can't buy it on Microsoft PC or the Xbox PC and have it work on the Series X or vice versa. So I'm going to have to make a choice. Where do I get it?
Not Play Anywhere, huh?
But it's supposed to be Play Anywhere. That's the whole motto.
Yeah, I haven't heard Xbox use that phrase in a long time. The Play Anywhere. Yeah, same.
Well, there are
they were pushing.
I was actually looking online to see like what games are cross by, because Forza Horizon 3, I bought that 2 or 3 years ago, and I can play it on PC or I can play it on Xbox. Cuphead as well, but not everything. And so I'm like, what's not to sound like, you know, Seinfeld, but what's the deal?
I think first party games for Xbox will probably be Play Anywhere for the most part.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I can't say for sure. It's going to depend on the individual companies.
Like, I just kind of wonder what goes on behind closed doors. What kind of deals? What kind of handshakes? Or maybe it's better that we don't see how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, it's probably dollar signs.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't feel like I can support this company anymore. Okay, so use the game services more. How about you, Mike? Any resolutions for us?
Well, I have a few things that I want to accomplish this year in my gaming sphere. But I think the big one for me is to finish more games that I own then I add to the backlog this year. We finally get at a backlog deficit.
Do you have a total number on backlog games right now?
I have a, at this point, partially completed list of my current owned games, but I don't have a list specifically of what's on my backlog. But I'm making a bigger focus on my physical games this year. Most of the games on my Dirty Dozen are physical games on Xbox, and I'm not sure on Switch. I feel like a fair amount of them are too. And so that's the next part, is to focus more on my physical library, because it's really easy for me to overlook those because I have to get up and put the disc in and physically download it, and then I have to have the disc in to play it, and it's not as easy to swap to the next game like it is when it's digital. But after seeing what happened with the Discovery content over on PlayStation, where they're just going to take away your digital owned videos, and I know it's movies. It's not games, but your digitally owned content, just seeing it taken away, I'm a little less fond of the digital future than I was before that. So I'm going to be on the lookout for more physical titles compared to digital ones. I don't know if it'll be very successful because pickings are pretty slim, at least around here, in the physical way. For Xbox, a lot of what I see is just stuff that's on Game Pass, and it's like really inexpensive as a result. So I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. It's having to like grab a disc or grab a, you know, a cartridge to put in. But I will say, with like the Switch, because of the portable nature of it, and if you're playing it portably anyway, if you've got a case that has like slots for the games, it kind of removes a bit of the barrier. But if you're talking about something like Xbox or PlayStation, like
I gotta walk to the system.
Let me just play like what I have digitally, because it's just so much more convenient. So yeah, that's great. I totally feel you on that.
Yeah, see, my anxiety would never let me store my tiny little Switch carts in a case. They need to be in the box, in the cabinet, where they go, so I know they don't get lost. It's like, I've lost too many portable games, like GBA games. Oh. Not because of me, but, you know, I have kids. And, like, the DS games, the number of DS games that are missing at my house is astronomical, and I would probably cry if I saw the state that they're in.
Oh, no.
3DS wasn't so bad, but the DS was a problem. Yeah. But outside of that, outside of, you know, the clearing more games than I buy, that all rolls into also following suit, spending less money on games in general. So I'm going to be trying to get games on sale, as opposed to new. Not that I was buying a ton of new this past year anyway, but definitely looking for sales and like big discounts, checking my wish lists more for those sales. I started using the website Deku Deals to check the Switch stuff, because trying to use the eShop is a nightmare.
Oh,
and it makes me so frustrated every time I log into that ecosystem.
Yeah. It's been 7 years almost. 7 years. Yeah. Like, at least a little speed jump, or let you sort by 100 or something.
We're even trying to like re-download games that you've already purchased. Like, they sort them alphabetically, but like, okay, well, I got to scroll all the way to the very bottom if I want to reinstall, you know, Yoku's Island Express.
Okay. My problem with that is I have my Nintendo account passworded, so every time I want to re-download even an old game, you have to use your password to get into the eStore to go download old software, and you should just be able to get it from the home screen.
Yeah. It's a lot of hoops to try to jump through. I agree.
Yeah. See, that would be the biggest thing for me for the Super Switch or whatever the next Switch is going to be.
The Switcheroo.
I like that.
Yeah, whatever it's going to be, I would need to see better functionality in the digital storefront, but also a windfall of money. And I don't see that happening, so probably be a while before I pick that up anyway. I have heard rumors that it's going to be $400. I don't like that the consoles are creeping up in price, but...
But, you know, $400 is still cheaper than a Series X. Well, cheaper than a Series X when it first came out.
Not cheaper than a Series S, though.
No.
And it's the same price as the digital PS5, at least in the States for now.
Well, I mean, during Christmas, you could get a Series X for $350. Sometimes with deal. Diablo 4, I'm like, that's an amazing deal.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Wait until you can get a good deal on it. But I don't know, but they packaged the Switch with games really this time around. It's like maybe Mario Kart. But so I could see them not packaging it with a game this next generation.
Well, they didn't for the Switch. Yeah. The lunch day switch should have come with 1-2 switch.
Yeah.
They should have thrown it in for free, but no. But you know what? It is what it is. And here's the thing. If it's $400, you won't be able to get a switch on day one anyway. There's no way. Unless you happen to be like really good and you have to be on the websites right when it comes out, right when you can select, you know, pay for it and, you know, you don't get, you know, kicked out of the online store. So you'll have plenty of time to save up money. It's going to, because here's what's going to happen is it's going to be like the Wii. Coming off the success of the Switch, I would imagine as long as the Switch 2 doesn't do anything crazy like going from the Wii to the Wii U, and people still understand that the marketing behind it, I think it's going to be a hard thing to actually get your hands on.
Consumers are more savvy now than they were then. Internet culture has really strengthened the ability to inform customers what they're actually getting. For the most part, only the willfully ignorant remain uneducated. So, and I say this the other day when I had an argument with somebody that the Wii U was not just an accessory for the Wii. I got to stay off Twitter, man.
Oh, what, you were getting into? Okay, so it wasn't a conversation with a like face to face person. You went online to have a conversation with a stranger.
Yeah. And I thought they were joking when they said, oh, well, the Wii was just before the Switch. And I made a joke. I will not tolerate this Wii U erasure. And I put a picture of or a GIF of the gamepad. And he goes, oh, that was just an accessory.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The Wii. And then you realize that their username contained a string of like 9 numbers at the end of it and a blue check mark. It's like, all right, we're... Clear signs of a troll.
You're arguing with somebody who's just trying to grift you.
That reminds me. You know what? I need to make a post on Twitter right now, something that's going to inflame the gaming community. So.
Super Mario?
I can talk about how Super Mario 3, Super Mario 3 is.
3 versus world?
Yeah. I just want to watch.
The world.
I just want to watch the world burn.
It's fun.
Well, if I have a
gaming, kind of stuff you guys are missing out in the Discord if you're not in there.
Yeah. For anybody who's listening to this, you got to get into the Discord. We're having a lot of fun over there, encouraging each other with healthy living, debating about the merits between Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario World, the best. And we all have coughs today. So there's going to be a link to that in the description of this episode. Now, if I have to have a resolution, if I have to, I'm going to say just complete games. That's about the best that I can do here. Complete games. And on a personal note, I want to get my 10,000 step streak to 1,000 days. So as long as I don't miss a day this year, I'll hit 1,000 days sometime in the first week of December. So those are my goals.
That's awesome.
I've got a feeling.
Not having a hard time. You got bronchitis, right? You said?
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to the doctor yesterday, gave me a bunch of prescriptions. Not that they all were filled by the pharmacy, so that was fun. So the inhaler wasn't filled. I'll be okay. But man, I took some of the medicine last night, and one of them just really made me nauseous. But okay, made it through it. So I'm not coughing. I'm not feeling as yucky as I was feeling, so that's good. But I've got a feeling that my streak might be interrupted this summer. So we'll see. If I'm doing that huge road trip, visiting members of the community and all that jazz, we're going to see how I can get my steps in.
I got a bike path just down the street.
Well, see, I didn't want to be like that weird guy. I was like, hey, thank you for letting me stay at your house. Excuse me for about an hour and a half. I got to get some steps.
I'll walk with you until my ankles fall off. That's fine.
That'll work. Yeah, as long as we bring some high potions, some ethers, we'll be A-okay. And I don't have any more Phoenix Downs, so don't ask.
Ooh, that's what I needed.
Yeah, no, that's what Aerith needed, right? or something.
So I've been told.
I've never played the game. I played like the first 10 minutes of it, and that's all. Can I even consider myself a real gamer?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I can.
You've played six. You've played six. That's all that matters.
That's true.
Four was my real first one. And that's still my favorite. I love four.
I feel like everybody's first one was their, not everybody, but a lot of people's first one was their favorite.
Yeah, the first one I saw was the original. The first one that I played was four, and mm-hmm. I got really into. But outside of the MMOs, my favorite's either six or ten, even though four was my first. It just depends on the day which one I lean towards.
Yep, I hear that.
I think for me, I think I probably rented the first Final Fantasy, and I know I definitely looked at it in magazines. But Final Fantasy 2/4, one of the things that, and I think this is something that's great as being part of a gaming community, what made that game really fun is that one of my best friends, we were playing this when we were high school, every morning in Spanish, we would get together and compare notes about how far did you get? How many hours do you have in it? What did you see? And so that just kind of went on for, a few weeks. And I think we had some of that again with Breath of the Wild, everybody doing things completely differently, and having a discourse about a certain game is one of my favorite parts about being in this community. Seeing some of the pictures that you guys post about games that you are playing or completing, it's like, wow, this looks amazing. And someone's saying, oh, well, I killed that person. If it's like a Baldur's Gate 3 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen to my son talk about that and say, like, there's this guy, pretty sure he's a vampire, I don't know. And then one night at camp, he asked if he could drink some of my blood. So I said, sure. Well.
So here's the thing, though. Final Fantasy VI is actually multiplayer. So you can play with your friends together. They can control two party members. You can control two party members. It's great, because then you just end up fighting each other.
Wait, you could do two-player on that?
Yeah.
I was not aware.
Gotta check the options menu.
Well, unfortunately, my options menu didn't contain friends at that time. So it's one thing to be like playing video games when you're a freshman in high school. But by the time you're a junior or a senior and you're still playing games and your friends are off doing everything else, whether it's, driving their cars 160 miles an hour on the highway, or going to like the field so that they can, do some underage drinking and, drug use. Our interests tend to split.
I mean, I was in elementary school, so kids aplenty. My house was the 2B place because I had video games.
Well, I didn't grow up in a place where there were, homes next to homes next to homes. So lived a little bit outside of the quote unquote city limits, if you can talk about that in a town of 3,000 people. So options are very limited. But I digress yet again. So let's talk about our Dirty Dozens from last year. So I know Michael's got the list pulled up, and I actually want to start with you, because I've got a feeling that for some, it's going to be a Dirty Dozen. And when you get to someone like me, it's going to be a Dirty Don'tson. Because I know I didn't touch my game. So let's see. Michael, what do you have for yours?
My Dirty Dozen was Falcon Age, Final Fantasy V, the original God of War, Immortals Fenyx Rising, Marvelous Another Treasure Island, Mass Effect Andromeda, Persona 5 Royal, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Spy Fiction, Starlink Battle for Atlas, Suikoden, and Watch Dogs Legion.
So how did you do on that list?
I finished them all.
You got all of those?
Yeah.
So you got Suikoden, Immortals Fenyx Rising. Did I hear Final Fantasy V in there?
Final Fantasy V, Persona 5.
And Persona 5?
Yeah, he did that at the beginning of the year, I remember.
He doesn't like it's no problem. He doesn't like someone who runs marathons all the time talking about how it's like, I did a 2K run Well, that's nothing. You just like it's. That's impressive.
Like my argument for that is always just, I don't have kids, so I like it seems like everyone else in the Discord has kids, and I feel like I'm the only one that doesn't.
Emo doesn't have kids,
and he doesn't sleep, so he has no excuse.
Yeah, no, I mean, plus I would be the same way if I had, you know, more free time. That's what I spend my time doing. If I'm out of the house, like that's why I have so many handhelds. So if I'm stuck anywhere for 10 minutes, I just turn on a handheld, keep plugging away.
I've always got something on me. Like even right here, I've got the PSP Go and the Vita and the Switches with an arm's length. Like I always have something.
Got the Steam Deck right here.
Ooh, nice. That looks
one of these shiny. Days I'll grab one of those.
So, I mean, I could imagine like if I didn't have kids. Well, no, I can't imagine. I think it'd be frightening if I didn't have any pets, I didn't have any kids, and if I were not married. I'd be afraid of, like, what would I do in that free time? I think that'd be just incredibly dangerous. Oof. I don't want to imagine. So, what about Nate's list? Nate, did you complete your list?
I have it right here, looking at it. Banjo-Kazooie, no. I got sick off that one just because, like, I know it's a great game. People hold it in high regard, but it just was very, like, that 90s, late 90s 3D kind of polygon stuff makes me feel nauseous.
Yeah, those blurry textures look at you.
Yeah, and it's like just the 3D camera movements. Like you can't always turn your head like you're used to now. So when I can't do it, and I have to like, it throws me off.
It's like to me, it's like playing Mario 64 when you don't have free movement of the camera; you just have four locked positions.
Yeah,
I'm like ugh,
it is. It's weird.
I can't get the camera where I want it to be.
Crash 4, I didn't play. Dead Space, I got halfway through. Gears 5.
No, was Dead Space, was that the original or the remake?
I had the original because I had the 360 one from whatever, the Games with Gold a few years ago. Hades, I didn't like that, as we've talked about. Mega Man X2, I beat. I actually have it marked on January 6th last year. I beat Mega Man X2. That game was awesome. One Piece Odyssey, I beat that. That's a role-playing game. Outer Worlds. No, Spider-Man didn't play. Tomb Raider I beat. I played a little Vice City, and then I wanted to get to Yakuza Kiwami because I played Zero the year before, and it was amazing. I just never got to that.
So you're kind of almost like 50-50 on those on that list?
I played most and beat two.
Okay. So, well, that's better than me. Mike, do you have your list, or do you need Michael to tell you what you had?
I sure do have my list. I know how to operate the pin system on Discord.
you what?
I said I know how to operate the pin system on Discord.
Okay, fine. Then I'll see if I can find mine somewhere. Where is it?
It's a little different after the update. It's harder to find it, but...
So my Dirty Dozen was Mega Man, Castlevania, like the original ones... Resident Evil, Operation Raccoon City, Hue, The Dark Pictures Anthology, Little Hope, Redo, Mega Man X3, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, Aragami Shadow Edition, Blossom Tales, Sonic 2, and The Quarry. From that list, I beat half of them, mostly at the beginning of the year last year. I went hard at the very beginning of the year and then kind of fizzled out for the rest of the year. And I just couldn't focus this past year on playing a whole lot of anything. But I did finish Mega Man and Castlevania. I finished Hue. I started the Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope with the idea of having it be my beat it on hard mode game. And I could have, but I lost interest partway through. I don't need to go back to it. I intend to finish the entire Dark Pictures Anthology Season 1 at some point. Maybe not this year, but we'll see. That's four games that are all kind of similar. I did beat Redo, which is an interesting little indie pixel art Metroidvania. A little on the short side. Controls were a little clunky, but I think it was a good time. I finished Mega Man X3, but it was really hard. So I had to turn on the hunter mode that makes you like overpowered on the Legacy Collection that I have for the Mega Man X series, just because I was getting frustrated. I started Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, but I just wasn't feeling skateboarding at the time. I just got to be in the right mood for that.
Hmm.
I started Aragami Shadow Edition, and I played it for like a couple hours, and I wasn't feeling it. And I was starting to realize that maybe I set myself up for failure. I didn't even load up Resident Evil Raccoon City or Operation Raccoon City. Cause see, last year I made out of my way to pick games that had short clear rates. It didn't take long to play it. So I kept hitting these. Okay, this isn't going to take long, but also I don't want to play it. Like Blossom Tales. It's like Legend of Zelda, but like the bad one. And I got to like the second dungeon, and it just wasn't clicking for me. So I did finish Sonic 2, though. That was a good time. It's my favorite retro Sonic, so that wasn't too bad. And I didn't even start the quarry. It's one of those that I own physically, and so it's harder to even remember that I have it when it comes time to play. But yeah, that was my Dirty Dozen. I got through a half dozen of the Dirty Dozen.
That's a decent clear rate. I was able to find my list. Oh, do I have to talk about this?
Zero.
You okay. Started it.
I know.
Yeah, it's your list.
So Bastion, I did clear a few more levels. I was not as far along as I thought I was. Transistor, everybody loves the game. It doesn't hit for me. The Cuphead DLC, I didn't go back and do that, but I did clear Cuphead several more times, just like the base game, because it's so much fun. I didn't even buy the Vampire Survivors DLC, so that's gone. Arcade Paradise. See, I think the thing is, a lot of these games are stuck on the Series X, and I moved that to the bedroom, and so I just am rarely playing games in there anymore. Tomb Raider, didn't get into that. Steam World Dig 2, nope. The Picross Sega Master System / Mega Drive one, I think I did complete that one. Yakuza 5, didn't touch it. Paper Mario Origami King, didn't touch it. Chained Echoes, didn't touch it. Octopath Traveler 2, so we talked about... Why? Stop it. You're not making me feel any better. I got 65 hours into it, but I did not complete it. So, yeah, I don't know how in the world I'm still on this podcast. So, that did not go very well for me at all.
Everybody knows the front man gets to do what they want, so it's all good.
Look, everything you just said was relatable, man. We were all there.
It's like I wanted to. Okay, I'm gonna be honest. It's not that I wanted to play all those games. There's some games I do want to play, but a lot of them I'm like, at this point, I think it's feeling more like homework, and I don't want it to be that way. And then, you know, like I mentioned before, like I discovered games like Fire Emblem Three Houses that totally sucked me in. And so when I get a game like that that I want to keep going back to, I'm just gonna savor. I'm going to enjoy it. And so that's...
It's supposed to be a fun hobby, so that's the thing. You know, once it becomes like homework, you might build some kind of animosity towards it. I don't know.
But I also think that part of it is needing to justify purchases that I've made. Now, to be fair, I think Bastion, I probably spent $3. Transistor was maybe $4, so it's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. And other games that were on the list, like Origami King, I may not have played much of it this year or even whenever I got it, but my younger son did. I think he may have beaten the game. So it did get played just not necessarily by me. So I, you know, just is what it is. So now that that's out of the way and the, I can wallow in my shame now, what have you guys been playing? I'll go ahead and start with you, Michael. And it's, I know we're just on, it's just January 6th as we were recording this. So I know you knocked out some pretty short games. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, I finished three that are both all on the short side. AM2R, which is the fan-made Metroid 2 remake. It was, I think I had less than 4 hours in it.
Wait. Was that the one that they ended up taking off? You get like a cease and desist
letter? Yeah, they got the cease and desist for.
Yeah, okay. I was wondering, he's playing Metroid, but I have no idea what AM2R means. But now I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. They basically took Metroid Zero Mission and made Metroid 2 out of the bits and pieces of that game. So it is pretty fun.
Nice.
I beat the first Ben 10 that they made of the reboot series. And it was less fun. It's clearly designed for kids. It also came in at under 4 hours. It's like six levels and three boss fights, and then the game's over. It's like, well, that was something. But I was going to use that because I made this whole joke in the Discord about beating all 10 Ben 10 games for the beating multiple games from the same series square.
When there are 10?
I'm going to beat all 10. Yeah, there are 10 across from the PS2 to now. But there's no way. I've got too much other stuff to get to.
No.
I still figure I'd do two different ones for that.
Well, I've got a question, though. Now, are these games that you own physically or that you've picked up digitally or that you just picked all of them up for a dollar because somebody was trying to get rid of them at a yard sale?
I do think I own them all, but it's like split between physical and digital.
So you were telling me that you intentionally spent money for a digital version of these games. It's not like it's an accident. Like, oh, I bought a batch of games and these happen to be thrown in there along with five copies of Madden 2007.
No, like I genuinely like really like the Ben 10 series of shows. So like the whole trope of one hero that can turn into multiple heroes is it's one of my favorites. So yeah, like I intentionally bought these.
He said he wants to save money for his New Year's resolution.
See, that series has so much potential. It's sad to hear that one of the games that it has is, you know, that child-focused, basically shovelware. Because, like, kids enjoy the same games that I do, you know? How many kids love Mario Odyssey? That didn't have to be this tiny experience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out this year how big that experience is, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, I suppose.
Because a lot of them are like real 6-7 out of 10 games. They're passable, but they're pretty decent for license game. Like this other one that I beat, Jackie Chan Adventures, that came out in it came out on PS2, but it didn't come here. It came out in Europe. But it's a genuinely good game. You collect the talismans like he does in this show, and you use their magic to help you traverse the levels. There's a fishing minigame. There's an auction minigame in it. They're like, they went way harder on this licensed game than they had to. It's generally really fun. I'm so sad we didn't get it.
Look, I am not a Sony guy, but let me tell you, in a post-Spider-Man world, there's no excuse that, oh, it's licensed. It can't be good. That's malarkey.
Yeah.
Just people being lazy or cheap is probably the real answer. Being cheap.
I blame like the NES era that we had Friday the 13th and Back to the Future and all that garbage. It's like, just because they could put it out and like, hey, people will buy it because it has this name on it.
Well, it kind of goes even before that because you can reference E.T. on the 2600. Mm-hmm. It's going to be this blockbuster movie, and I need you to develop and design this game in 6 weeks. And like, think about that. Back then, games were being done in six. Okay, admittedly, it was not a good game, but 6 weeks, and now we're looking at 6 years or for some games even longer. But when you're trying to
Beyond Good and Evil 2 is still coming, right?
Yeah, so is Silk Song. That's okay. Toaster Waffle is not awake to hear me slam that, or he'd get angry.
I'm sure he listens to every episode, so you're going to hear about it.
No, even if he doesn't listen, he doesn't do podcasts, but I'm going to make sure that I tell him anyway, just so I can make him angry. That's the joys of
being. That's what dads are supposed to do.
It's the joy of being a father to a gamer. So I can say, oh, hey, did you hear about Silk Song? Yeah, that's right. No one else did either. Okay. he loves me some days.
See, and I lucked out in that department because my kid just replays the same game over and over and over again. My middleist has been playing A Hat in Time on repeat over and over and over and over again. And like, she's considering going for like speed runs at this point because she's played it so much. She's so stinking good at that game. It's crazy. And before that, it was Omori. She played it a half dozen times before it left Game Pass and still wanted to keep replaying it. And it's, from what I understand, a JRPG with basically little replay value. She just wanted to play it again. I was like, okay.
Well, it's like, you know,
on like year 15 on Stardew Valley.
Like Toaster Waffle, like he got Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales and a couple other games for Christmas. And what's he playing? Oh, I get a notification. Oh, he's playing Power Wash Simulator. I'm like,
like Skinny Matt.
I'm like, are you for real right now? You're going to play that and some of the other, what is going on here? Do I need to see what's going on in Discord? What are you pinning?
Oh, sorry. It's me. A lot of people's dirty dozens weren't pinned. So I just wanted to make sure those got taken care of.
What a good member of the community. I'm going to make sure that mine doesn't get posted. Of course, I actually have to make one first. I got to think about this. Gosh, again, I'm horrible. So Michael, you played the Metroid 2 remake and then some licensed games. Some good, mm-hmm. some bad.
Yeah.
All right.
That's usually how I do.
So, Nate, what about you? What have you been playing?
Mostly Rift Apart, Ratchet and Clank. I've been trying to work it in on lunch, but I've been having so much fun that sometimes I'll put the PS Portal on and watch TV at night and just keep plugging away at it. It's a really great platformer that I feel like utilizes the functions of the DualSense. It's just small things, you know, like you pull the trigger and the controller kind of vibrates a little bit, and some of the gyro stuff with it. It's a really fun game. The boss fights are fun, not too challenging, but they're a lot of fun to play. The weapons, you got a lot of different kind of weapons you can unlock.
Now, is Rift Apart the PS5 Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know, I feel like I should know better, but I've never like really been in the PlayStation ecosphere, or so I just want to make sure, just want to clarify.
There's and the thing I like is, you know, the weapons are so varied too. You can throw like a grenade out that puts this plant up that shoots kind of like spiderwebby stuff and it holds the boss in place. And then you can throw another one out that, you know, spawns some monsters that can help fight for you. It's pretty neat. You can have this whole thing going on in a boss battle where you get your other kind of helper weapons to help you out, and then you sit back with like a cannon and fire at them. It's pretty fun.
I love that series.
It really is good. It's just crazy that the ways you can come up with to tackle the enemies. It doesn't, you know, you're not just running and gunning. You can kind of set them up into traps and, you know, take more tactical point to it too. And there's a lot of like fun little slide things where you're like on your feet and you're sliding down rails to get away. They just mixed a lot of different components into it.
Yeah, those games always looked fun, but again, not really having PlayStations. Just certain games and series I've completely missed out on.
I picked up a indie game called Buzz, or however, I don't know how you say it. It's a platformer made by a single guy. And it was $8 on sale in the Steam store. I watched a guy playing it on Twitch, and I was like, wow, the music is really good, and it looks kind of like Celeste, where there's no weapons or anything. It's more jumping and dashing to get through the levels and, you know, test your platforming skills. That one's probably going to be the under five hour square. I'm close to beating it. I'm about 3 hours in. And then after that, Persona 4 has been my other game that I've been playing, which is, that's a lot of fun. That's one of those ones where when I stop playing, I keep thinking about it and want to go back to it, because it's just a lot of like customization with the personas. Once I've got my head wrapped around how they work and like how you fuse them together and make a new one. And it reminds me similar, but not exactly, to Xenoblade 2, where you had the little, I don't know what they were called, but you would unlock different ones and they're very unique and different. I don't remember what they were called, if anyone's played that.
Blades,
there you go. So you'd have a bunch of generic blades, but then there were some, you know, unique ones that you would get sometimes. And it kind of reminds me of that. You're kind of surprised by what you create when you fuse your two or three personas together. You get like a new one to go out and fight with.
Wow, it sounds...
Plus it's like a murder mystery.
Oh.
You know, it's like, it's people are dying and or getting kidnapped and you're trying to save them. And it's a cool game.
Now, are you...
Something I never played before, and now I think I'm a Persona series fan.
So are the characters in this one kids like they are in 5?
Yep, they're high school kids. Okay. You're a new kid who's living with your uncle, I think, because your parents travel for work or something. So you end up staying with your uncle and his young daughter. The mom isn't, I think she died. So I'm in the early parts now where I'm just kind of befriending the kid. She's probably 5, I'd say, around there. And you have friends in school and you go into a television on, that's kind of like the dungeon. You go into like a television thing and I don't quite get what's causing that to happen, but when you're in there, you fight through the dungeon and that's how you save the people that have been kidnapped. One died early. I saved a girl named Yukiko, who's part of my party now, I think. So there was a whole dungeon you had to fight through to get up to the top floor and fight her, whatever. I don't even know what you'd call it.
Her shadow.
Shadow. There you go. I'm trying to soak it in. I'm trying to pay attention so that when
it's
all over.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I just don't want to miss stuff because there's a lot of like social aspects, like social links. So if you spend time with one person, it makes your link better, which makes your personas better. I'm gathering is the basic idea of it. So you got to choose what style of fighter you want to, you know, spend your time with, because each one has a different kind of persona where it's like, I can't remember. One's like a judge, and some of the personas are like a judge category, and some are like ice category, and you can like fuse them together to make some whole new crazy thing. It's just pretty intense.
Wait, yeah,
they're all based around.
You said judge?
Judgment.
Yeah. Judgment. There you go.
Well, so I understand ice. That one's easy enough, but judgment, what does that mean?
They're based around the tarot card signs.
There you go. So you had
Judgment, Chariot, Magician, Priestess, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah,
but they're not, they also have their own elemental stuff aside from that. It's like a different stat.
So as you can see, there's a lot of things that if you're not really paying attention, you'll miss. You almost got to be like focused on playing the game and not just, you know, playing while doing something else like I can some games.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think there are a lot of games where, yeah, you can just have something on in the background. But I feel like any time that I'm playing and there's something on in the background, I don't even know what's going on in the background. So why even have it on? It's like if I'm sitting there late at night and I say, you know what, let me pick up the Switch so I can do another, you know, few runs with Backpack Hero. I have no idea what's on the TV. Why do I even have it on at this point? It's just a waste of electricity. Right. And I should just, you know, play my game and then, you know, be done with it.
I usually have sports on. If I'm like playing on the couch, I'll have like a basketball game on or something that doesn't require a lot of attention detail. And then if you hear like the crowd go nuts, I pause it and look, see what's going on, and then go back to what I'm doing.
That's like me last weekend. I was at a friend's house playing a board game. Crazy. This board game is called Sleeping Gods. I don't know if any of you are in board games or have heard of it. I'd never heard of it. This is a guy who has like, he doesn't have like a huge collection of board games, but he's got some that are like, oh, he's got Gloomhaven and Frosthaven, these big ones where, oh, well, it's almost like Dungeons and Dragons, and you're going to be fighting these enemies, but you don't know what they are yet because each one of them is in its own separate box. So, oh, you got to fight enemy number 12, so then you'd finally get to see what it is. But in this Sleeping Gods game, it's like this big sailing game, but it's almost like choose your own adventure as well. So we're sitting there playing it and, you know, making our choices and fighting these enemies and doing quests and repairing our boat and all this other jazz. But the football game is going on in the background in the other room. And it was a home game for the team that we were rooting for. And so you'd hear like a bunch of cheering. It's like, wait, what just happened? So we'd have to get up and go in there. It's like, oh, wait, they're on defense. Oh, they were on defense. Oh, they scored a defensive touchdown. Whoa. Then after that, it's like, okay, now we're back to the game until we hear more cheering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, once you hear some commotion, you know you can pay attention.
Yeah. Wow, you guys seems like you guys are starting off the year strong. How far into Persona 4 do you think you are, Nate?
I think 10 hours, right around the 10-hour mark.
Now, is this like all the other Persona games are like 100-hour games?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like probably 60 to 80 for your first time through. You're really
so it's like 120 for Nate.
Yeah, probably, because I go back. Sometimes I'll go back on a dungeon floor and just keep a grind like crazy. Mm-hmm. You go up. If you get behind a shadow on the floor, you can hit him with your sword and gain an advantage on your turn. So I just keep doing that. I wait and get him and then try to level all my stuff up. Like the old school days when, you know, Final Fantasy games where you'd have to spend an hour in the field fighting enemies just to get enough to fight a boss.
Yeah, I
think Yuki's Castle is the first major one, so you're still early.
Okay. I thought I was. I definitely have been like checking the school out, trying to map where each floor and where I'm going.
Yeah.
I don't like being lost in games. I like to get my head around the area I'm in, kind of like if you move to a new town and you start out slow and learn all the places near your house, and then you keep venturing out, and eventually you have some mental image of where you're going whenever you go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that way. I think when I was first playing Dragon Quest XI, because, you know, being in that 3D environment, I'd go into a town and I'd get completely turned around. Where am I supposed to be? But eventually, it's like, even now, it's been a few years since I've played it, I know where things are, I know where to go. But what you're saying about RPGs, there's something about that is very, I guess, almost like a Zen-like quality to do level grinding. It's just,
yeah.
It's fun as long as there's not level scaling with the enemies. That to me is right. One of the biggest turnoffs in a game.
Because you love to be overpowered, as you have said.
That is
you want to go out there as a level 12 and mop those level ones.
That is true. Now, in the first, and they probably did the same thing in the second Electropath Traveler game, but the more characters that you add to your party, there is a bit of level scaling to a certain degree for each of the areas. Like there's going to be like a max level that they're going to reach, but like when you start off, things are level 1. But if you gain a second party member, well, now the danger level is like a 3 or a 5 or something, which kind of makes sense because you have more firepower to go with that. And speaking of being like overpowered, yes, that's how I like to play my games. That's how I like to live my life. And things were going well when my children were still smaller than me. But now that they are basically the same size as me, that sense of feeling overpowered has left. Like when I'm looking at my son, I'm like, I'm not looking down. We're looking like eye to eye. It's frightening. So, yes, I like to be overpowered. That's me. Well, I would talk about like what Blaze and I are playing, but I think maybe we should save that for like the main Backlog Busters episode to get into like the details. But we can just talk about, just like if you just want to name the games that you're working on, Blaze.
Oh, as per usual, I'm playing Dead by Daylight because I'm an addict. And every time I think I'm out, I'm
look at that
right back in.
He looks so happy, though. He loves it.
Well, I was thinking in my head what I was going to say about it, and now I have to wait. That's okay. I've been trying to play Gloomhaven, but it hasn't happened yet for no particular reason in general. But I've been working on Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And I said a little bit in the Discord about how that's been going. So
yeah. So I do have a question. I don't know if it's considered a follow-up question to what you were talking about, but why were you still awake at 4:30 this morning? Was it because you were playing games?
I turned off the game at like 2:30. I just couldn't fall asleep.
What was it? What were you playing at 2:30? Was it Dead by Daylight?
Oh, I was playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Okay.
It is a great game. That's probably my favorite of the three was Shadow.
I don't know if that's
the one that I've played. I think that Rise is going to end up being my favorite, but it's such a fantastic series in general, that remake trilogy. And I do find the theme of Shadow to be interesting given the state of the series. I'll get into that another time.
Now, so I've played one. I don't know what the name of it is. Where you're like shipwrecked on an island, and you're trying to figure out.
Just Tomb Raider.
That's the first one. Yep.
Okay, that's
the one. It's just called Tomb Raider.
That's the one that I started playing and getting freaked out when wolves jumped out at me from the bushes. I'm like, what's going on? And I'm trying to attack with bow and arrow. Yeah. Well, I think for me, I've been dabbling in. Well, I guess last night I was playing Dordun, and I started playing a game called Learning Japanese to Survive.
What's that about?
It's an RPG where you are learning Japanese to survive. You are learning I think they have three levels of it. It was a game, I think, a series of games you get for like $1 as a bundle on like Fanatical. And so it's got the hiragana, katakana, and kanji. So I guess each one has its own story, but it's teaching you the symbols, and that's how you attack enemies. It's decent. It feels very much like hey, we made this using RPG Maker, but it's fine. It is what it is. I've been playing Forza Horizon 5. I like to play that with my older son. Do that online. And I think that might be it, what I'm working on right now. I'm trying to come up with a list of games, making a list on my phone about games that I need to play this year. Transistor is not on that list. So sad about that.
How are you, you guys? Backpack Hero.
I'm sorry, what?
What's that?
A Backpack Hero?
I was asking Ryan. Yeah.
I haven't done any of the... I've been working on just the story part and the, you know, rebuilding the village. And it's fun. I think there was one playthrough that I got to the final boss on a run and I died. And it gave me the option of just like, well, you can leave and go back to the town with a few things or restart. And I thought it meant restart the boss battle. It restarted the entire run. I went, you son of a gun. But no, it's fun. I think it's a lot like a lot of the roguelikes, you know, that I play, where I get where I have a certain combination of items that I like, and I kind of stick to that. Every once in a while, I'll experiment with something new. But once I find something I feel works, okay, this fits with my play style. But yeah,
I totally get that. I played it for like 20 hours, and like maybe I should try one of the other characters.
I don't have another character yet. I just have the one.
Oh, see, like until this year, I had only played the quick run option. I wasn't even messing with the story mode. So it literally puts you at the start of the dungeon and go through, and that's all I was doing.
Yeah, I'll have to try that mode. But it's just kind of been fun to, you know, rebuild the village, and you know there are quests to do. So in that aspect, it's less of a roguelike game. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the dungeon to do this quest so that I can improve things in my town and whatnot. No, it's good. I saw that it was on sale maybe on Steam or something. I think it's down to like 16. I think the base price is 20. But
It was my game of the year for last year.
It was your game of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I put like 60 hours into it between when it released in the middle of November and the end of the year. So, yeah, I think that qualifies for game of the year.
Well, okay, so since I don't think we got everybody's picks for games of the year, at least that I can... Did we talk about that? I don't think we got your games of the year last year.
I didn't put mine in because we were already going to be doing an episode on our podcast, so I figured I would just save it for that.
Okay.
But I probably still have it here somewhere. Uh-huh. Again, Dynamite Radio.
Always.
Yeah, okay. My top 10 were Dordogne is number 10, Theater Rhythm, Final Bar Line, Street Fighter 6, Dredge, Pikmin 4, Spider-Man 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Double Dragon Gaiden, God of Weapons, and then number 1 is Backpack Hero.
Wow. I think it's great whenever you find a like an indie game that ends up in a top 3 list, let alone number 1.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I think it was
Backpack Hero, God of Weapons, which was another roguelike, and then Double Dragon Gaiden, which may as well have been an indie game.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
This is like a couple of years ago whenever Boyfriend Dungeon seemed to have come out of nowhere to
it's so good.
I forgot that I bought that game on Steam. So I need to play the DLC stuff that was part of it. The stuff they added.
Oh yeah. Oh man. I'm jealous now.
I think it was on sale for like, I don't know, it was like $9, but then it was more like $10.50 because I paid a little bit extra to get the soundtrack with it as well. Because the soundtrack is so good. Nate, did we get your top games of the year? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did the podcast, You, Me, and Hoots.
Oh,
and
that's right. Hold on. Just because whoops. Again, this is radio. No, that's Nate. No. Oh, yeah, you had Starfield, Baldur's Gate 3, and Tears of the Kingdom.
Yep.
I wrote it down, and you hated Hades.
I hated Hades, yep. I did. I wouldn't say I hated it. It just didn't grab me, but that's okay.
No. The history will judge you.
That's how I am with Tears of the Kingdom, so like I get it.
Yeah, exactly, because you know how it is. Everyone loves that. That's my game of the year. I thought it was fantastic, but everyone has a style. That's why I always say games are great, because they can appeal to anybody. If you just, you know, if it's your hobby, you can find something that will entertain you.
Taste is subjective.
And it's just like television nowadays.
And I'm sure that there's somebody out there whose favorite game of all time is Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, Sweet 16, License to Drive.
I know my wife's favorite game is Overwatch. That's the only game she ever wants to play. I'll set it up on one system and I'll play on another, and we have two TVs sometimes, and she runs around with a guy with a shotgun and I play as, you know, like a support to keep her alive, and we have a good time with it, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah, but I mean, at least it seems like it's more of a legitimate favorite than, say, you know, Elf Bowling.
That's true. I mean, I would try. I'll try anything once. I don't care. Let's do it.
Ah, nice.
That's how you find those hidden gems. Like, exactly. You have to give it a chance sometime.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually going to try, now that Michael had said it too, and I know Hoots had said it on the show we did it last month, Pikmin 4. I've never played a Pikmin, so... Yeah. If I see it on sale, I will probably pick it up and try it out just to see what the hype is.
I too want to try that. It's been on so many people's list for game, like the top 3 or top 5 games of the year. And I don't know, I liked the first one when I played of it, but there was that pressure, that time constraint, and it just, I don't know.
Is there a time constraint?
In the first one, there's in addition to the day-night cycle, there is a certain set of days that you have basically to survive, and you have to collect something like, let's say it's like 28 days that you have, but you have to collect 35 ship parts. So there might be a day that you don't collect anything, so you've got to make up for that. And I don't know, I didn't get too terribly far.
I'm getting anxiety just listening to you talk about it.
I know. I'm still borrowing the GameCube version from a friend of mine. I think I've been borrowing it for like 15 years.
Oh, Blaze has something to say.
Yeah, pretty sure that in the subsequent versions of the game, they removed the overarching time limit. It was just the first one that had that.
Okay.
I haven't played the other ones, but that's, I remember it might have been Hoot saying that specifically, but I do remember somebody saying that there's not a time limit anymore.
Yeah, or there's some kind of adjustment that you can make, or there's an item that you can use so that you can extend the number of days that you have to survive. But I'm wondering if, like, the first time that I played it was many, many years ago, and I wonder if it would be a little bit different now, understanding a little bit about or having more experience playing the the RTS games, or even playing a game, what was that? A Wallet at Heart. I don't know if you guys remember that indie game from a few years ago. This is very much like it was a Pikmin clone. But as I would say,
I don't know if I ever heard of it.
You should check it out. It's
Wallet of Heart?
Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart, okay. Let me see. Like, what's a Wallet of Heart?
Well, I'm sorry. It's, I know speak good. Or is it the Wild at Heart?
You're a math teacher, not an English teacher.
Yeah, exactly. It's the area of the world.
The Wild accent. At Heart.
Oh, it's the Wild at Heart.
The Wild. I've heard of that. The Wild at Heart. Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, visually it was a really good game. I think I played it on. I'm pretty sure I played it on Game Pass, and the way that you manage, I don't even know what they're called, these little Pikmin-like characters, and you're attacking enemies or gathering resources, and the. Like the puzzle aspect that you have to that. I think there was only one part where I went, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it was because I didn't have a particular type of Pikmin, quote unquote, with me to, you know, do whatever. And you can actually play during the night if you want to. But as we've talked about in previous episodes, the freaks come out at night. So you have to be really prepared and watch out for that, because they're like shadow creatures that try to get you.
Isn't that like what Skinny Matt was saying with Dredge, where yes, you could like yes. play in the day and then like nighttime it got wild, and like I remember him saying Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, I'm not a spooky or spoopy kind of guy with that. So I'm like, I'd rather not, even though it's just a video game with a yep. shadow creeping up on me. No.
I'm like Mike with the Tony Hawk with skateboarding. I gotta be in the mood for horror, but when it hits. And I'm like, I'm glad I have a Resident Evil or something on my system just in case you get the urge. Because sometimes by the time you download it and then when you go to play later, it's gone. So it's nice that's one thing I like about digital is just having them on the console. So whatever I feel like I can jump into.
Yeah, I think my younger son likes the scarier type stuff. So he got... one of the Five Nights at Freddy's, like a sequel that just came out, and he's already, like, I think the first day he had it, he played through the whole thing. I think it was like Security Breach 2, something like that, but he's doing it on VR, and he's like, Dad, I got a headache. What were you doing? I was playing this VR game. Like, how long were you playing it? 2 hours. I'm like, okay, well, there's your problem. He's like, oh, I think I'm going to try to speed run it now. I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's like, Dad, you should try playing it. I don't even like watching you play it. I don't like the jump scares. No, no, thank you. He's messed up. All right. So I think we've probably done all that we need to do here. I'm so glad that I got to see you guys earlier this morning. Thank you guys for being awake, especially you, Plays Knight. Or if you're still awake, you there? Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, you're gone. Great. I get to edit that out. Speaking of editing, and I thought about calling this Uncut Gems. Good if movie. You are a supporter at the basic level, the only level on Patreon. See, we just we created a Patreon this week because I guess we were bored and we had nothing better to do. And because I wanted to do something other than grade papers, we got a Patreon account. So you can head on over to patreon.com/backlogbusters. And it's just Backlog Busters, all one word, kind of. And just a little tip jar there. And what you can get is the uncut version, the unedited version of this episode. So you can hear some of the stuff that happened a little bit earlier. So we're offering that to you guys. and get that right away as opposed to waiting a couple of weeks for when I get around to editing. And you know what? I think we might even throw out the transcript because why not? That'll be super fun. And you can come into our Discord, hang out with us, talk about all kinds of things, talk about the games that you're trying to beat. Share with us the deals that you have found, right? Talk about how you are, you know, getting exercise, some cool photos that you've taken by, you know, with playing video games. Or maybe you want to be part of our Gloomhaven Nights. Those are really fun. So come join us over there. You can find us on Twitter, and I'll make sure that I have all of our links in the show notes here. So you can find me at mathman1024. Find the Backlog Busters at backlog_busters. We've got Nate at Takeda, and those A's are fours because that's the hipster way of doing it. You can find Michael at Kaiden Zane, and you can find Blaze Knight, Mike himself, at Blaze Knight 0923. So, for all of us here at the Backlog Busters and our fantastic Discord community, we say peace out and chopper on.
Pick it up with Liberace's ghost.